The Baron rose to his feet, and everyone around the arena fell silent. His voice cut through the silence like the dull blade of a knife.
Welcome, and good day! The following challenge will be between a group of Outlanders and four of our best Sekhmen. There will be 3 10-minute periods of play with a 5-minute break between periods. The team that successfully captures the other team's flag will be deemed the winner. If neither team captures their opponent's flag, then the team with the larger number of active players at the end of time will be named the winner. If the teams are of equal numbers at the end of time, then a public vote will determine which team is the victor. Any questions?
Can we just get on with this?
Very well, then. Contestants, take your positions.
In moments, the four members of each team vanished from view, like spiders running for the shadows the moment the light has been turned on. The Baron said nothing for several moments, making sure everyone had enough time to take up their positions.
Let the challenge begin!
Ryan slipped behind a piece of sheet metal that had been cut to resemble some sort of bush. It was one of the few obstacles that was strong enough to stop a round from a real blaster, and he made note of its location on the arena floor. Although he couldn't see all of them, Ryan knew that the other friends were spread out on either side of him, with 10 to 15 paces between them. On his left, Ryan could just make out Christy's left leg as she stood behind a ramshackle wooden shed. On his right, JB and Mildred were hidden from view, trying to get a bead on one of their opponents. Their strategy was simple. They would advance in pairs, one trying to draw out a Sekhman and the other taking the Sekhman down. They wouldn't be making an attempt at capturing the flag until they'd knocked at least 2 Sekhmen out of the game. The arena was quiet. The wind swept through the arena, churning up tiny clouds of sand and dust. Ryan felt the wind in his face and realized he was downwind of the Sekhmen and would probably be able to smell them when they neared. He sniffed at the air now and detected nothing. They were hanging back, waiting for one of the friends to make a move. Ryan decided he had to do something to draw the Sekhmen's fire. He tossed a pebble in Christy's direction so that it ticked off the side of the shed she was positioned behind. In an automatic response to the sound, Christy swung around and had her blaster pointed at Ryan's head. Ryan signaled her to watch for Sekhmen. When she acknowledged him, Ryan took off his coat and hung it over the barrel of his blaster. Then, after bumping up against the sheet metal bush to make his presence known, Ryan held out his blaster so that his coat was visible to the Sekhmen. The first shot glanced off the barrel of Ryan's blaster and slammed against the arena wall behind him. The other two hit the sheet metal. Then, in the time it took the rest of the Sekhmen to find their target and aim and fire, multiple shots were fired. Judging by the sounds, several shots hit wooden obstacles, but at least one had made a much softer landing, followed by a yelp of pain from one of the Sekhmen.
Scratch one Sekhmen.
It was not a mortal wound. Sekhmen Kucharski remains in the challenge.
What bullshit is this?
Maybe we have to brain them with the butt of our blasters to knock them out of the arena.
Ryan nodded in agreement. He would prefer a fight in close quarters over this. At least if he cut a man with his panga, he could watch him bleed and know exactly where he stood. This whole contest was arbitrary, a game. Even worse, it was a game of chance. Well, if the shots needed to be fatal to knock a competitor out of the arena, then it would free him up to take a few more chances. If Mildred, JB, and Christy hadn't been able to make a headshot at this distance, Ryan doubted that any of the Sekhmen could do better. He got to his feet and put his coat back on. Then, once he had Christy's attention and she was aware of what he was about to do, Ryan took one look over the metal bush and ran across the arena floor. The arena echoed with the sound of the Sekhmen's blasters. Spouts of dirt erupted in front and behind him, but not one of the Sekhmen's rounds had hit him. Ryan kept running, and moments before he reached the line of stalls at one side of the arena, he dove to the ground and somersaulted once into the safe zone behind one of the stalls. The crowd cheered the bold move, knowing that the stalemate had been broken and things would be happening more quickly now. Ryan checked his body to make sure he hadn't been hit. His body was clear, but it looked as if the outside heel of his right boot had been clipped. The leather heel had turned a little blue, but Ryan was unconcerned about that, since the hit probably wasn't even caught by Robards. No, the thing that bothered Ryan was that the leather heel was bubbling, as if it were being eaten away by the liquid that had been inside the ball. It was strange, but he couldn't dwell on it. The last thing he needed was to lose this challenge and end up a prisoner in this red-blasted ville. He rubbed the heel of his boot into the dirt of the arena floor. The bubbling stopped, and the blue tinge was gone. Ryan was ready to shoot some Sekmen.
Ryan's drawing out the Sekmen. If I can get to that trash can over there, I'll be able to pick them off when they come for him.
Mildred took a moment to judge the distance as Ryan moved toward them.
It won't be easy getting there. Sekmen will be ready for you now.
You gonna cover me?
Best I can with this piece of crap.
On three, then. One, two, three!
On the third count, Mildred was standing and firing her blaster in the direction of the Sekmen's last appearance. She was trying to catch the edge of the wooden wall the Sekmen were hiding behind so that the paintballs would break on contact with the walls and send a spray of water in behind. While it wasn't enough to put any of them out of the game, it would keep them behind cover until JB was in position. While she fired, Mildred was careful to keep an eye on the rest of the arena to make sure a Sekmen didn't pop up somewhere unexpected. None did. JB slid the last few yards to the trash can and hunched behind it while he twisted his body so that he was facing the Sekmen and ready for an attack. Ryan saw JB prepare himself and nodded approvingly. Mildred and Christy were now the two who were hanging back protecting the flag, while Ryan and JB would be moving forward. Ryan waited several minutes for evidence of movement among the Sekmen, but there was none. They seemed content to wait for the friends to come to them. Well, if that was the way they wanted it, then Ryan and the rest would gladly take the fight to them. Ryan signaled JB and told him what he was planning with a makeshift sort of sign language they had developed over the years. Ryan would make his way up to the shack where the Sekmen were waiting. He would move around the left side of the building, his blaster leading the way. That would force the Sekmen to come out the other side, where they would be caught in fire from JB and Christy. With any luck, they would be able to pick off one or two of the Sekmen with solid shots to the head and body. When JB nodded in understanding, Ryan made his move. With speed uncommon in such a big man, Ryan crossed the open ground between the stall and the shack in just a few seconds. As he ran, he could make out the face of a Sekmen looking out from behind the shack, but Ryan was too quick for the man to get the Outlander in his sights. He paused a moment to catch his breath and to give JB a chance to move into a better position. When all was set, Ryan moved around the left of the shack, the blaster always in front of him and ready to fire. As he neared the last corner, he could hear the Sekmen talking.
Robards won't be calling you out unless you get nailed right between the eyes. And just one of these rounds will knock the Outlanders out of the arena. Maybe even on the last train west.
Ryan didn't understand what he was hearing. All of the paintballs were supposed to be identical. Maybe it was just the Sekmen being a little overconfident. Whatever it was, the friends had to play out this challenge and get out of this ville as soon as possible. Without further hesitation, Ryan switched the blaster to his left hand and moved around the last corner of the shack. Two Sekmen were crouched there, both of them looking rather surprised to see him. Ryan squeezed off two rounds, the first hitting the Sekmen in front of him in the forehead, the second hitting him in the left cheek. In the Deathlands, the man's head would have been gone in a spray of gore and gray matter, but here, in this game, he merely had a pair of red welts and a face and head stained red. Before the first Sekmen could be called out of the arena, the Sekmen standing behind the first raised his blaster and pointed it directly at Ryan. Ryan leapt back around the corner as two blue balls zipped past his head. But instead of striking the wall, the two balls hit a third Sekmen who had positioned himself behind Ryan in one of the stalls against the wall on the left. The two rounds hit the Sekmen in the neck and chest, but instead of staining the man blue, his skin began to sizzle and smoke, just like Ryan's boot had done moments before. The man slapped at his neck and chest as if they were on fire. A low rumble of voices swept through the crowd, as if they were unsure what they were seeing, as if the rules had been changed.
Something's wrong, Theo.
I would say so. That Sekman's skin is disintegrating, as if he has been doused with some sort of acid, sulfuric or hydrochloric.
We have both in the ville.
And all Ryan and the others have to fight back with his colored water?
It looks that way.
Well, that does not seem sporting at all. It's obvious that we shall have to even the score somewhat.
What can we do?
Doc took a quick look around. Everyone seemed to be caught up with what was happening down on the arena floor. If there was ever a time to move, it was now.
Can you get us to that end of the arena?
There are several ways of getting there.
Under the circumstances, I shall forego the scenic route and opt for the shortest possible passage between the two points.
Follow me.
Jack, we are moving.
No way for me.
And as they set off, all other eyes around them were still on the screaming Sekmen.